As children, we all look up to our parents, right? For some, that statement doesn't come so easily. Out of the nearly 500 children living in the Kensington neighborhoods in North Philadelphia, most of them struggle to admire their parents. That is, if both their parents are still in their lives. Many aren't. Some were never involved from the start. Some left when the baby was born or when things got tough. Some have passed away. Some are in jail. And some have become victims to the daily craving of a needle under a bridge. This needle, this bridge, they change my life. They change a lot of lives, but usually not in a positive way. In April of 2017, I started a week-long journey of something that would stay with me much longer than that 1 week. Usually, when you hear the term mission trip, you think of traveling to Africa or Mexico or some significant foreign place to play with a bunch of children and build houses after a terrible natural disaster tears down the homes of thousands. For me, when I now hear mission trip, I think of 45 minutes. I think of the nearest city to my house. I think of Philadelphia. More importantly, I think of the bridge, the needles, the faces and their stories. I think of the heartbreak and lost hope. I think of Kensington and the week I spent there. I was a nervous 16-year-old being dropped off at some old convent in North Philly with two older, experienced girls who were best friends. Oh, and just to add to my anxiety, almost all the other kids there were those girls' friends and classmates. So, you know, I'm about ready for a week of being the outcast. The way this week worked was that a small group of us would be there from Sunday to Saturday, but a big group would join us Wednesday and stay till Saturday as well. But I, of course, wasn't friends with anyone that came Wednesday either, so it's not like I had that to look forward to. Looking back now, I couldn't have been more wrong. That week was arguably one of the best weeks of my life thus far. The small group of us all got really close and bonded day and night. There's something about the work we were doing together that made it impossible for us to not spend time together and get to know one another better. For instance, one boy, Dom, was a senior in high school, except he was actually homeschooled. When we asked what his plans for college were, he simply said,
"I'm actually going into the seminary next year."
As the days went on, we finally asked him what led him to this decision, and his story has stuck with me since, 2.5 years later. To make a long story short, he told us that he had been suicidal for a while, and while he was at a 3-day religious concert, he bet against God. He told himself, "If I don't get a sign by the end of this weekend, I'm going to do it." He set a date, had a plan. One night while he was there, he stood up and shouted at God,
"Do I do it? Should I just kill myself already?"
It was the simple, audible no that changed Dom's life. You never know what's going on inside other people's heads. You never know if your kind word or small action could save a life. You never know how much help you could bring into someone's life just by being there. Physically, verbally, anything. This help comes in many different forms. The one I experienced most during my week was physical. The moving part for me was that sometimes you don't even know that you're helping. For instance, I've been on this mission trip 3 times now, 1 week every year, right before Easter. The second year I did it, someone on the street stopped me and said they recognized us. They knew who we were and what we were doing. Whether we spoke with that individual or not, we made an impact. They saw us previously and took note of the good works we were doing. Hearing a total stranger thank you for bringing hope to the streets that he calls home is something that you simply don't forget. Every day, we have different schedules of what exactly we are to do, but the same general plan is as follows. So we wake up, and after breakfast, we prepare 2 lunches, one for ourselves and one for someone on the street. Next, we head out for our first crosswalk of the day. A crosswalk basically means that 2 people from our group, and there are several different groups, so 2 people from our group carry a wooden cross on their shoulders as we walk the streets. Now, these crosses are relatively thin, but about 7 to 9 feet tall, so the weight adds up. As we walk, the other members of the group approach residents of the neighboring homes and those living in sleeping bags, cardboard boxes, or something like that. We briefly explain who we are and what we're doing.
Hi, we're Catholic missionaries with St. Joan of Arc, and we're just going around collecting prayer intentions, and then we're going to nail them to the cross. Do you have anything or anyone you want us to pray for?
We quickly got used to being turned down by those living in the houses on the outskirts of Kensington. Every now and then, you'd get a friendly response asking you to pray for family, someone's health, everyone on the streets, a friend in jail, and things like that. For the most part, though, people would simply not answer the door, or when they did,
no, thank you.
The streets were a different story. Nearly everyone wanted to talk. Sometimes you'd encounter someone that just wasn't in the right place, making it either unsafe to interact with them or disabled them from speaking. Beside those few occasions, it was really simple talking to the homeless people or those living in something more of crumbling walls and crowded space than genuine home. I think this mostly came from their usual daily encounters and how much those contrasted with what was happening in front of them now. Though a week may not seem very long, it's incredible to think about how many people you can meet and talk to in just 1 week. This was our mission. The more people we could offer a helping hand out to, the better. So many faces, names, and stories still stick with me to this day. Usually, these crosswalks took place as we are on our way to other destinations. Some days this would be a soup kitchen, a prayer service, an AA meeting, a garden in need of repair, or so many other incredible places. The most powerful of these, for me, happened this past mission trip, April 2019. There's this place called The Last Stop. It's amazing. This man named Eddie runs it. He's amazing. Now, I met Eddie my first mission, and we visited him again my second mission. He always impressed me and demonstrated what it means to love, but there was something special about this third mission. He let us sit in on one of the AANA meetings, Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous, that is. So he let us sit in on one of these meetings he ran at The Last Stop. Everyone there was so welcoming and accepting of each other, regardless of their past addictions. They understood what it was like to struggle with this dependence on a substance. When someone would speak, he or she first introduced themselves by stating their name, their addiction, and sometimes how long they've been clean for. Every time someone said their sober time period, the others would clap. And I think this is what really got me. That support in the room, whether they knew each other or not, they were proud of themselves and of those sitting around them. Eddie, an alcoholic, helped others every day. He helped them find their own recovery story. Although I was there in Kensington to help others feel some peace, it really was I who gained the most. I learned so much from my fellow missionaries, the residents of the streets, the many open-hearted people we met like Eddie. The missionaries showed me, the lonely 16-year-old, what it meant to be a friend. They easily could have stuck in their same familiar groups the whole week, but instead they opened their arms to welcome me in so I could fully experience the mission. The residents showed me what it meant to be thankful. The smallest, simplest acts of kindness really went a long way for these people. Sometimes life will present you with obstacles. The way you handle these obstacles says a lot about you. The way you handle the consequences and outcomes says much more. The people demonstrated what it means to love. They could be doing anything with their lives. Nothing is keeping them in Kensington, besides love. They have opened their hearts and dedicated their lives to helping these addicts find hope and want to stay alive and recover. In today's society, we all want to fit in. Many times, we feel the need to reject certain people in order to fit in with the crowd we want. The weeks I've spent in Kensington, especially that first week, have taught me that embracing those different than us isn't a bad thing. It won't push us away from the right people. It won't result in sadness or loneliness. Rather, it can open our eyes to see the beauty in everyone, including ourselves.